Good evening again. You know, I always see communion service as kind of a family meal. The family's all gathered together, and we've gathered around the Lord's table. And that's a really good way to see church. It's a family. And I will tell you that church does require a lot of family volunteering. You think of all that goes into, making this church go even on a Wednesday night. You know, we got the sound folks, the media, the beautiful worship, many people working over in the youth group area, many people working over in the elementary, folks helping out with the nursery. It really is a family effort. And I just want to say one of the greatest blessings in my life as a pastor is getting to serve the Lord along with you and with those that really put effort here. And I will tell you that over the years, the Lord has raised up some brothers in my life who have come alongside and help us here at the church. And as the Lord has led, we've asked them to become elders at our church over the years. And I really felt in my heart that this year, we would really begin introducing who our elders are so that you would get to know them a little better. We are introducing them at our baptism services now and all of that. And I thought on some of our communion services on Wednesday night, I'd like you to hear from a couple of them. And tonight we're going to hear from two of them, very, very dear brothers of mine, dear friends. Tony Bedoy is going to come up and give his testimony. And then Kevin Hasten is going to come up and give his testimony. And then we are going to have communion together. So, Tony, you're first. Come on up. Give him encouragement.
Good evening. Wow. Again, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Tony Bedoya. Calvary Chapel has been my home church for about 20 years. I've been attending services at Calvary Chapel Sun City when we were at the YMCA. It was a small group back then. And it's just amazing to see what God has done to go from the Y to the church in Donovan, to the awesome tent, and to this place. But I remember back in the day, Pastor Terry was not only preaching, he was performing worship as well. He was doing a lot with Kim by themselves. And it was hilarious. Well, it's hilarious now. It wasn't then. But Terry would be singing and preaching, and literally you'd hear these guys grunting, lifting weights at the Y, and then they dropped the weights down, and it was very interesting during those times. So I'm blown away at what God has done with Pastor Terry and Kim and their children, and again, I knew them when they didn't have kids, and it's just amazing, and I'm very, very blessed. I'm blown away at what God has done within my own life. I'm a pastor as well, and like Terry said, I'm an elder here. And I was asked by Pastor Terry after Sunday service if I would give my testimony on Wednesday, and I said yes. And I believe the last time I gave my testimony in front of a group was when we were located at Donovan before calling this place our home. When I gave my testimony that day, I literally could hardly speak. I was extremely emotional. I'm a crybaby. But I was just so thankful that God had allowed me and welcomed me back into the family. And what I mean by that, I had backslidden for a few years. And I happened to go back to the YMCA, and they weren't there anymore. I walked in, and it was all people working out. And I still had, it was amazing, I still had Terry's number. And I called Terry and I left him a message and he returned my call. And I was like, I don't know if you remember me. And he said, of course I remember you, and come back. And it was awesome to hear that, you know. So I went back, and the rest is history. But when I did go back, Terry, it had been a few months and Terry had asked me to speak. And again, I could hardly speak. I was just so thankful to God and to Terry for welcoming me back. I've heard other guys, and I didn't wear glasses back then either. I've heard other guys give their testimony and begin to speak about how bad they were and the things they did, which you end up hearing more about the bad habits and the bad things they did, and turns out to be more of them instead of Christ. And I'm not going to do that today. I want to speak about Christ and what he's done in my life and how he continues to use me to this very day. So let me briefly share a little bit about my background. I'm happily married to my beautiful wife back there by herself, Rosanna. We've been married for 16 years, and we've been together for 20 years. And I have 7 children. I have 6 boys and 1 daughter. And the Lord blessed my wife and I with 2 sets of twins. We have 19-year-olds, and he surprised us with they're 4-year-olds now. And they were surprised. And so it's been an amazing journey. And the cool thing, my daughter was one of the first babies to be dedicated by Terry. And that's a great memory. And she's going to be 22 now. So time flies. Now let's rewind a bit. I was raised Catholic, and both my parents never read or shared the Bible with me. They never spoke of salvation through Christ because they didn't know better, because their parents, my grandparents, didn't do that with them. All my parents knew were the rituals and traditions of Catholicism. I was an altar boy, and I wasn't a very good one. I won't go into detail. But growing up, I went through the motions of the rituals and traditions, but there was never, ever really any substance there for me. I had a bunch of questions I would ask my parents, and they would tell me, well, go ask the priest or the nun, and then I would, and then they'd get mad at me, so I learned not to ask. You know, you get, bah. You know, back then there was swatting and all that stuff back then. But now I know that God had a calling in my life, because throughout my childhood, even when I was an adult, he would put Christians in my path that would try to share the gospel with me. And I grew up in a neighborhood, or in the neighborhood of Sunset Heights. And you know what I'm talking about, right, brother? You grew up there too. And back then, everybody knew everybody in the barrio. It was really cool back in the day. And again, it was mostly 99% Hispanic people. But I remember where a section of Vilas Elementary School stands right now. It's Mesita now. There were apartments. And there was an Anglo couple that lived in those apartments that stood out. Again, it was mainly Hispanic people in the neighborhood. And this couple, and this happened, again, many, many, I was a kid. This couple tried sharing the gospel message with me and a bunch of other kids. They gave us all Bibles, and there was a night I remember where they were going to show us a film about Jesus. And they had a film projector and that screen, the white screen, set up. And again, I am getting old. There was no YouTube. There was no videos. There was no smartphones like there are today. So I told my dad, I went up to my parents, and I said, hey, this couple, you know, and they're going to talk to us about Jesus, and I want to go. And my dad got really upset, you know, and he didn't let me go. He said, they're going to brainwash you. And he says, we do our thing, and this is what we do, and you're not going. and I don't want you hanging out with them anymore. I don't want you going around them anymore. So I was like, okay. Because again, back then, they could spank you, you know, and I was like, okay, I won't go. And I would hear my friends talk about it. Hey, it was cool. You should have been there and blah, blah, blah. Well, after that, a few months later, the Lord started using my friend and his family to share with me. As they tried sharing with me, I just listened, but really didn't take anything serious. And even though people were giving me Bibles, I would try to read it, but it didn't make sense to me. And I really didn't ask my dad or my mom because I knew they would get upset with me, even with a Bible, because the Anglo couple gave me a Bible and my dad took it away from me. And he says, we have our own material. And I was like, okay, it's cool. So for many years, I went through the motions, and I thought because I was an altar boy, I was making points with God. Because I showed up on Sundays, I was making points with God. And some of you might be sitting here thinking, seriously, and I'm being serious. You know, because I said certain prayers, I thought I was making points with God. You know, and as I got older, again, I started rebelling and doing things I shouldn't. I thought just by going on Sundays to church and saying certain prayers, you know, hey, say 2 Hail Marys and 7 Our Fathers, and that, it was a lot of Our Fathers. I remember the priest would go say it, and I thought, I'm done. I'm good. And then I'd leave the building, and I'd go back to doing the filth that I was doing. So for many years, I thought going through the motions or performing certain rituals and repeating certain prayers that I was fine, and I was going to heaven based on my works. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Galatians 2:20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. So I died to the law or the traditions or rituals of religion when Jesus died on the cross. He, Jesus, died in my place on the cross. So it is like it was me up on the cross. He, Jesus, died, and I died to the laws, traditions, and rituals of religion when he died. And Christ defeated death, amen? And when I gave my life and my heart to Christ, I have defeated death as well because of what Christ did on the cross for me. I now have eternal life through Christ. And Christ now lives in me, and that truly blows me away. And for those of you that have accepted Christ, he lives in you. You know, so we got to remember that when we're living our daily lives, he sees what we see, he hears what we say. We have to be that good example. Are we perfect? No. Are we going to blow it? Yes. I blow it every day. But remember that. Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I want you to understand something tonight. Faith in Christ connects us so intimately with him that he and you and I become as one person. And if you've asked Jesus to be your personal Savior, you may boldly say, I am now one with Christ. Therefore, Christ's righteousness, victory, and life are mine. And think about how much Christ loves you. Christ, on the other hand, may say, I am that big sinner. His sins and death are mine, meaning us, because he is joined to me, and I to him. All the crud that is in us, God is willing to accept us like that, because again, we are one, and God loves us unconditional. And I want you to remember John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think about that. God sacrificed his Son for you and for me. Even though he knew we would reject him, even though he knew we would mock him, even though he knew we would ignore him, even though he knows we're going to let him down every day, he still loves us that much. He adores us, that he was willing to sacrifice his Son. If you're here tonight and your kids, your spouse, your friends, or your family member don't know Christ, and the way they're living their lives is having a negative impact all around them, including you, and hurting the people they come into contact with, don't give up. Keep praying for them. Don't stop, and don't stop, and don't stop. I was not a good son as a kid, or in my early days in my youth. And I put my parents through a lot, but they never stopped loving me. My dad told me once, that before he would go to work every day, he would pray for me at church. And he would tell me, "You're going to change one day, son. God's going to change you." And I would laugh. I told my wife, "Pray for me so I don't get emotional." Now I want to fast forward to the present. My sister passed away unexpectedly in 2014. My father passed away 11 months later in 2015. And then my mom passed away in 2017. And to this day, I'm still dealing with their loss. I still, every day I miss them. But I do have peace. Even though my parents did not share Christ with me when I was a child, God blessed me and allowed me to share Christ with them. And both my parents accepted the Lord as their Savior, as well as my sister. And what a blessing it was to be able to share with my parents after so many years. And I was the black sheep of the family. And it was awesome that my parents receive the Lord and my sister. I know I'm going to see my sister and my parents one day. So all the praying that my parents did for me, God heard their cry. Because if you would have told me 20 plus years ago, you're going to be preaching, you're going to be evangelizing for Christ, honestly, I would have said, "You're nuts. I don't want to have anything to do with God." And I was bad. And I truly am blown away at the mercy and the grace that he showers us with. I'm extremely blessed and thankful to God for what he has done for me. And I'm very thankful that he has allowed me to get up here and share with you all, because I don't deserve it. And all the blessings he's poured out on my family and me. You know, Terry had a big part in my walk and helping me, and Kim. They've been amazing. And I'm not just saying this because he's here. We're truly blessed with Terry and Kim. And he truly is gifted. He's a gifted teacher, and I've been surrounded by good men here, with Bruce and Kevin and Ed and all my brothers here, and they've helped me in my walk. And my walk is not perfect. None of us have a perfect walk, and all of us go through hardships. So don't give up either. Those hardships make us stronger. And again, especially with our children. And I do want to share about that. If you're currently going through a hardship, whatever that may be, don't give up. The testing of your faith produces strength. It's like going to the gym. You tear your muscle down in order to build it up. And God is toughening us up. He's getting us ready for something that is yet to come. Trials are like God's gym. He's using them to make us stronger. So again, if you're going through a hardship right now, whether it's with your children, maybe you're having marital problems, maybe you're having addiction problems, just hang on to Christ and don't give up. Don't give up. You know, because honestly, if you knew me back in the day, I wasn't a good person. You know, and sometimes I do share with some guys, like, hey, this is what I used to do, because they're going through similar things. And, oh, you didn't do that. I was like, yeah, I did. I did do that. But again, we serve a God that has so much mercy and grace, and he truly loves us unconditionally. Don't ever, ever, ever think that, hey, something I did or something my children did, God's not going to take him. He will. He says, come to me as you are. I want you to remember, there is no way you can earn your salvation. Salvation is by grace. That unearned, undeserved blessing from God. There are no rules you can follow that will qualify you for it. If you will put your faith in the promises of God and in Jesus Christ, he gives you eternal salvation. If it could come by doing good works, we would brag about it, but it's free. The wonderful, amazing grace of Jesus. Amen. I think I'm, let me see. Am I running short? Am I running too much? All right. I've got a minute. I only had, my wife said, put your timer on because you're going to go over. I was telling her, I don't have enough material. I do want to thank Pastor Terry again for asking me to share with you all tonight. And I want to thank you all for not getting up and leaving. And I want to, again, God bless you all. And I'm serious. Never stop praying. The Apostle Paul tells us, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And what a precious gift we have, that the creator of this universe stops everything he's doing just to listen to you. He never says, I'm too busy. You know, Tony, you're being a pest. You've already get away. He never does that. So remember that. And again, if anything, if you have children, I want to emphasize that, and you're struggling or you're going through your issues, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. We serve a God who can do anything. And we can do anything, right? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ. Not some things, all things. Amen? Thank you all, and God bless you.
Well, all right. Tony messed all that up for me. Anyways. My name, Terry said, I'm Kevin Hasten, an elder here. We've been here since 2001, and that's when we moved to El Paso. But I want to start off with a scripture that'll lead us down my rocky road to the Lord. In Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9, is on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he, Jesus, spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprung up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That passage of scripture is speaks a lot about where I came from. And I just wanted to start with kind of a chronological of what happened to me. Now, I'm not going to start at birth. That's not going to make any difference. But somewhere around as a freshman in high school, my mom and dad had already been separated for like 7 years. Total mess. My mom and us kids, we were living in a hotel. And eventually I went to live with some friends. I say this because when I was with those friends, I met a girl, and she was going to church. So you go to church too, right? That's what we do. Well, I went to a church camp with them, got saved, gave my life to the Lord. We came back from camp that summer. The girl left, wanted to be with somebody else, of course. You know, it's high school. That's what happens. Well, unlike Tony, who had a Catholic upbringing, I had no upbringing whatsoever. I didn't even know what church was until I went with this girl. No idea. My mom had grown up Methodist. My dad had grown up Catholic. But we never went to church. Ever. We couldn't even call ourselves Christers. We didn't go to Christmas Mass. We didn't go to Easter service. Nothing. So she leaves. I hang out with church for a little while. Doesn't last. I move on with life as we know it. Well, soon after that, I moved in with my father because mom was struggling and he had a house, right? Well, unfortunately, my father had this great idea of a rule. As long as you drink at home, it's cool. Well, I learned to drink at home. It was bad. My grandmother made moonshine. It was bad. So I go through the rest of the high school. I get decent grades, but I learned to drink. I go into the Army, and I get to go to Germany. Doesn't get much better. This whole time, I'm not completely away from God, but I'm not following him. In the hard times, I'm there praying for him to help me. Those foxhole prayers, you know, help me. Shortest prayer, help me. So I go through those 3 years of the Army, rough times, learn to drink, learn to smoke, do all that stuff. And I come home. For some reason, the Lord did not want me to stay in the military, even though I wanted to. This was 1990, and they were kicking people out of the Army instead of wanting to keep them. So I get out, and then a little tussle happens in Kuwait anyways, which is probably a good thing I got out. So anyways, I get out, and I don't change a lot when I get back. I start school in college. I start going, but I'm still drinking. I'm still drinking. And then one day, the Lord used my mom powerfully. Because one day she looked at me and said, she said, "You're acting just like your father." It broke me. Completely broke me. It was a few months later, I quit drinking. I started seeing myself for what I had become. I didn't go back to church right away. But things were changing. And I know the Lord was with me that whole time. On that rocky road. He was there. So I'm in California. This is where I grew up. So I went back there after the Army. And I moved to Irvine, California with some friends. There was five of us in a five-bedroom house. Even back then, in California, you could barely afford anything. And a starving college student, working a job, everything. So we were there for about a year, and the lease was running up. Now, at the end of this year, I had met some friends. One of the girls that lived there, her sister came by and started staying there because she needed a place to stay. Everybody's like, "Cool, this commune is fine." And she's got a new boyfriend. His name is Dave. Her name is Lisa. 2 weeks after meeting them, they decided they were going to move to Vegas. Dave looks at me and says, "You want to come?" Okay. So I move with them, right? So we move up to Vegas. Only Lisa has a job. The rest of us are looking for jobs. There's Dave's brother and his wife and me and another friend. We're all staying in this three-bedroom apartment, six of us. When you're in your early 20s, it's easy to do. So one Sunday morning, we're all waking up, and Lisa looks at Dave and says, "Hey, you want to go to church?" He goes, "Sure. I went to church when I was a kid." And I happened to hear it, and I said, "Hey, can I come too?" Jesus working. He was working. We didn't know where to go. Lisa had gone to a Presbyterian church while she was a kid. "Let's go there." Okay. Carefree, going wherever, you know. So we go to First Presbyterian Church in Las Vegas, right? Sounds reasonable. So we go, and we continue to go week after week. We get involved in the church. I rededicate my life to the Lord there. I asked him to come back. I saw him with me the whole time. He was there, even when I wasn't, when I was a wreck. So Dave and I, we actually decide we're going to start a Bible study for college age kids. Okay, we don't know what we're doing. We haven't been trained, we haven't been done anything, but we had Bibles, and we met. And at the time, I was in the choir, and we were doing this, and in between, I met my wife there. That's where I met Tammy. In that Bible study, even though we were in the choir together, it was like a 100-person choir. We didn't even know who was on the other end. But we met, and she was the shyest girl. But we met, and we got to loving the Lord again. But we weren't learning much. So in the meantime, we're carrying our Bibles to church and coming, and one day somebody at that church asked, "Why do you carry your Bible to church?" I kind of found that odd, a question. But then I started listening to the sermons more, and they weren't on the Bible. They were about the pastor's college life or what he did last week or whatever it was. It wasn't about the Bible. So we started searching for the Bible, searching for a church with a Bible. And that's where we found Calvary Chapel in Las Vegas. At the time, it was Spring Valley under John Michaels. And you all would have loved John Michaels because he taught just like Terry. Both engineers, both everything. But I found a hunger for the Word, for the Lord Jesus. And I got involved. I got involved in ushering and greeting and men's Bible studies. I was doing men's Bible studies, and I learned the inductive Bible study there. I learned how to read the Bible and learn from it. The Lord brought me back through that rocky road. He carried me back. Even when I wasn't looking, he was always there. He's always there. Once you accept him as your Lord and Savior, he won't let you go. Now, we can make our own choices that are really bad. And we have to live with those consequences sometimes. But he brought us back. And then coming to El Paso, What a different story. Everybody's got their story. Most people come because it's the military. Well, one day, a friend of mine and Dave's decided to tell us, you should take the government test. Take the test for customs. Why? I got a job. He said, go ahead and take it. So I took it. I didn't care if I got a job or not. I had a job. I have a degree. I'm good. I'm in business. I'm running companies. I took the test. Like 6 months later, they called for backgrounds and stuff. And I was already told that it takes like 3 years to get in. So I called. I said, I'll go through the process, whatever. I probably won't take a job. A few months later, in August, so this is 7 months later, they call and offer me a job. Many places, San Diego and everything. Most of California and Texas, basically. But El Paso happened to be the closest one. And I might not have taken the job if it was just a regular officer, but they offered me canine. And it kind of sounded fun. And you know what? I put it in the Lord's hands. And he brought us here. I don't know why Tammy agreed to this. I have no idea. But it was of the Lord. It was definitely of the Lord. She called around to the Calvary's here because we wanted to go to Calvary. And she talked to Terry. And he's like, yeah, come on by whenever you get into town. He was always been that way. Cool, come on by. Well, that first weekend I got here, I went to Calvary East first for their service. And then they came to Calvary Sun City. Never looked back. I was nothing but welcomed here. And I knew that was of the Lord. The Lord calls you to where you need to be. He calls you to follow him where he wants you. If you would just give your life to him, if you would just trust in him. There's been a lot of trust needed over the years. There's been a lot of trying times. I mean, we were moving here with two kids already and a job that was making less money. But we trusted. And we trusted him alone. Not a job, not a house, not our things. Because those are just things. I say this because I give you my story like this because there are rocky roads out there, and I understand that. And Tony alluded to that. You'll go through trials. You'll go through tribulations. It's a rocky road, but it's worth holding on to if you follow him, if you trust in him. And it's been a blessing being here at this church. And serving in any capacity I can. The love at this church is so incredible. And I thank you. Thank you.
Man, I'm really glad we're doing this. I've known Kevin, what? When did you move here? 2001. And I'm embarrassed to say it, but I think that's the first time I really heard your testimony. And it blessed me. And Tony, I've heard your testimony before, but so that's kind of the goal here is for you to meet some of these guys and get their background and all that they've been a part of. We all have a story. We all have a story of how we came to the Lord, and all of the elements of the story are similar. You just kind of fill in the blank as it applies to you. We're broken people. We're broken men and women who are going through difficult times in life. We fail. We mess up. We make big mistakes. And then one day we meet Christ. And we We find out about how he died on the cross for our sins and rose again, and how he's alive. And when you place your faith in him, it all changes. Everything gets forgiven. It's a brand new start. You have the Lord in your life. You walk with him. It's a beautiful relationship with him. And then you start to get involved in church and ministry and meet your brothers and sisters and just grow and grow and grow and grow. That's how it works. That's the story. And I always like to remember my story when I'm sitting at the communion table. We're to remember what Christ did for us. And at the same time, I like to remember what Christ did for me personally. You know, 7 years old, went to a Billy Graham crusade in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and that's where I met Jesus. And do you have a story? Do you remember when you met Jesus? Do you remember when he took that broken life, received you the way you were, and completely changed you? Do you remember that story? Let's go ahead and let's turn the lights down. And why don't we have our Tammy and Andrew come up. Andres, but I call him Andrew. It's easier for me to, or Andy. And for those that are going to help me distribute, why don't you come on up too? And let's just all bow our heads and close our eyes and just take a moment here. Reflect. What's your story? What's your story? When did you have that life-changing moment with Jesus? You know, as Tony and Kevin both said, you give your life to Christ, and then you look back and you can remember how he was there all along, just pulling you, drawing you to himself. Oh, the Lord is so good. Just in this quiet moment, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, just go back. Go back to that day. Be renewed in your spirit tonight. Be renewed in salvation. And remember the cost. Remember the broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus on a cross. You know, it is possible that tonight there might be some here and the story hasn't begun yet. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while, been intrigued with it all. But has that moment come in your life when you just surrendered, you gave in, you opened your life, you opened your heart to him? Do you need to do that tonight? Just a prayer away. Just right there, just cry out to the Lord. Say, I'm surrendering right now. Let the story begin right here tonight. Be my Lord, be my Savior. take my life just the way it is. Change me. Save me. Walk with me. Take my brokenness, take my pain, take my failure, take it all. Lord, we thank you again tonight for the sacrifice that you made. And we seek to remember what you did for us the way you commanded us to remember. By partaking of these elements, remembering your broken body and shed blood. Meet us here in a very personal way, each one individually here tonight. Encourage, lift up, restore, heal, strengthen. We're going to distribute. We do ask that you would hold the elements and we'll all partake together. Let's worship the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Let's stay in an atmosphere of prayer and reverence and worship. Lord, that's absolutely true. Because of your love, we live. Because of your grace, because in your grace, in your love for us, you died for us. You paid the price for our sins. At great cost, Lord. Lord, we remember what you've done. We're reminded tonight of what you've done. And I pray that it would motivate us, Lord, to live for you. Afresh. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again. Amen. Is your spirit renewed tonight? You feel renewed? That's the whole purpose of communion, to remember the essence of the Christian faith, which is what the Lord Jesus did for us. To be reminded of the cost of salvation. Sometimes even as Christians, we tend to doubt God's love for us. We might think, don't ever doubt. Here's the proof. that God loves you. He gave all, everything for you. But I'm going through a hard time right now. Yep, we do go through hard times. But there is this thing called heaven, which is a lot longer than now. And our eternal glories far outweigh, the scripture says, the trials and tribulations that we experience here. And even those are beneficial to us here. As Tony said, they strengthen you. They make you stronger, a better Christian. Let's all stand. We're going to close. Which one do you want to do? Oh. Okay. Holy and anointed. We're going to turn the lights up. If you don't mind, put your cups to the side. Let's sing this last song of praise to the Lord Jesus. And several of us will be up here in the front ready to receive you if you need prayer for any reason tonight.